they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back is Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, Wind Column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Josh McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, April 28th. Coming off an exciting weekend, especially on the baseball field. Nice little sweep of the Missouri Tigers. And I know it's going to get old saying this, but kind of have to. Just another time Tennessee stands on business.
Yeah, I didn't see Tony Vitello walk up to Coach Jackson of Missouri and whisper, hey, we stood on business. But, yeah, Tennessee absolutely did that, especially their defense this week.
Since that moment, it was a bad game. Tennessee played bad. Missouri just took advantage of Tennessee. It was not fun. It wasn't a fun night. But since that night that Eli Drinkwitz and the Missouri Tigers, quote unquote, stood on business, the Missouri Tigers have done everything but that. They have gotten their pants down, ass beat in every other sport. And he loves to talk trash at other sporting events. So careful what you wish for there, Eli. That's not a good look for you and a program you're very, very, very proud of, unfortunately.
Yeah, he dug his own grave for sure. So I know Tennessee doesn't play them next year, but I guess the year after that too, right?
Maybe he was behind all that.
He's like, how can I calculate how I can say something and I don't have to see him for years and years? I don't know.
He's smart. He knows the next time he plays Tennessee. He knew what he could say. He won't be there the next time they play Tennessee. Yeah.
And he knew the tone that he could say it and run away without Josh Heupel like saying anything. Which I don't know if Josh Heupel says anything back. He probably just shakes his hand because that's just who he is. But I think Pruitt would have just body slammed. He would have crushed Eli Drinkwitz.
For some reason, the video of Pruitt asking, what is that, is trending lately.
Again?
In 2 days. Yeah, I don't know why. Which I didn't.
Wasn't it the Rush Probst thing?
But I don't know why that video is trending again, specifically. Maybe people are watching 2 days now.
Yeah,
maybe.
They're just like, God, Pruitt. We should have known from the jump that Pruitt was a moron.
Well, I didn't know the context. I haven't watched 2 days in a while. I bought it again when Jeremy Pruitt became the coach. He just went out to dinner to Fleming's with one of the players' parents. Mm-hmm. And it's just on a plate. And he asked what that is.
Yeah.
The context makes it so much worse that he's asking.
Yeah, he goes out with a player that he just like throws the kid out of practice, then goes to dinner with the dad.
The stepfather. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And the stepfather's like, yeah, you know how to coach him. You know what it takes. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Makes me want to watch 2 days again. Such a good show. Such a good show. We are gonna talk. Obviously, that Missouri series, just a fun one. We got to go on Friday night, which was the second game in the series, the closest game of all of them. So we really appreciate you guys, you know, just really wanting to keep us on our toes. That was fun. Yeah.
It was the same score on Saturday.
It was the same score. It did not feel like the same score.
Yeah, pretty.
I think Missouri was just that bad on Saturday.
Both teams combined for 4 runs in the first inning, and we had won the rest of the 8. So, pretty fun time to be at the baseball field.
But truly, Saturday was the I'm not joking. It might have been the worst base running display of any team at any level I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's
you could have gone to Bauer Field that afternoon and seen better base running, I think.
Honestly, on so Friday, that same stuff happened. On Saturday, when that first base coach ran back out to his spot, I was like, I mean, I can't imagine what the backup to him looks like. His good Lord.
Friday felt much more like it didn't feel – I mean, I can go look at the stats. It was the – they got picked off a few times.
Yeah.
Saturday, why are they sending them? What were they doing? What were they thinking? Were they thinking, I think, is my question. That includes, because at what point do the players stop trusting that third base coach?
And they're just thinking, there's got to be a sense of hesitation somewhere in there. It's like,
you see his arm, you see his arm waving, and you're like, not a chance.
Yeah, you're like, are you getting me thrown out by 10 feet? Because that's embarrassing.
There were a lot of times I'm thinking, I'd like to interview that guy right now. I'd like to hear some answers.
Oh, and their head coach was furious.
He has a very good, calm, furious look to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very. If you just saw a picture of him, you'd know he's mad. You wouldn't know the context that he's mad. I feel like you can tell when, like, a football coach or a basketball coach, like, their anger kind of just all looks the same. Baseball coach, you can sometimes see it. He just, like, he could be mad. He could be waiting on a table too long at a restaurant.
Yeah. I have no clue what all that was. I don't know why they kept testing Cal Stark. Cal Stark had proved that whole weekend that he will throw you out, and they just kept testing him. So, you know, I guess thank you is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and then like Friday, for example, it felt like they had no rhythm. You see a lot of guys that can get jumps on pitchers because they're watching. They can time it. I'm just not convinced they ever watched from the dugout, from their position on the field, and their timing was just pitiful. I think maybe they were like, let's try it now. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a calculated gamble. It was just like, I mean, we could do it this pitch or we could do it any pitch.
Red 18 right now.
Let's do it when they're throwing a 98 mile an hour fastball outside, and so the catcher has plenty of time to just gun us down at second base.
Yeah. It was fun for us, I guess. I mean, it almost got to the point where you're like, it made me is think, this fun for anyone?
Yeah, it made me think, is like, did Brad Bohannon bet on Missouri to win? Is that why they're just getting runners thrown out left and right?
I wonder where he's at right now. You think he just lives in Vegas now?
He's probably at Harris with Pruitt, honestly.
I'm glad you mentioned that name. Yeah, wasn't he in like a poker competition or something like that? That's all. That's kind of sick.
Yeah.
But he didn't get the fired money. I imagine Brad Bohannon didn't. That's what guys like Derek Dooley and Butch Jones should be doing. Not coaching football. They should be gambling that money very irresponsibly somewhere.
Well, now Derek Dooley's like, oh, I guess I'm going to try to be a lawyer because I'm actually better at that than being a football coach.
Do you know? I haven't read about that. Is it essentially what we've been saying all along, that they should be separate?
Yeah.
So he's right?
Yeah, he's definitely right, which I don't know if right is a term. I wonder if he just like, I think I could probably make that happen or at least get a petition going around.
He's vying for commissioner is what he's doing.
Yeah, he's he took somebody else's idea and just started running with it.
Derek Dooley, big listener of this show.
Yeah, he is.
He's just got the pockets for it. He can make our ideas come to fruition.
Right, yeah. He's in front of a lot more people than we are.
Well, I saw someone say something like that they're not going to get the TV money that the college football playoff does. And I'm like, well, no, duh. But they're also not going to get any of that TV money if they never play in the college football playoff.
Sure, yeah.
So they've got the UFL on TV. There's got to be room for the group of five.
Yeah.
There's not room for college baseball, though, we found out. Did you know? I don't know if it was all weekend. I think Cody Hahn did Friday night. On Saturday, they had two guys commentating that weren't at the ballpark.
Yeah, they do a lot of that. When it's on, like, national TV, they do a lot of that.
That's pitiful.
Hey, not everyone can get that Kirk Herbstreit money where they can just get a private plane and go wherever.
What's Kirk using his private? You can use that private plane right now.
Yeah,
actually.
True. Yeah. Probably not in his contract. He probably is like, no one else can use it but me.
That's like a very small blip, in my opinion, of how evident it is that ESPN does not give a crap about college baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It's just a small example of that.
Yeah, and I was talking about like, I mean, SEC football is a beast, 100%. But I don't think like even people that go to Tennessee baseball games, I don't think they realize how big of a beast SEC baseball is compared to the rest of the country. I mean, we have four of the top four teams in the country right now. I mean, that's going to be different because Kentucky lost a series. I think A&M lost as well. But yeah, that's like you get to see guys that are going to play in Major League Baseball like every weekend.
Yeah. It's loaded for sure.
Someone like this top stars, like, I mean, Dylan Cruz a few years, Tommy White last weekend. I mean, Missouri didn't have a lot of those players. I'll say that. But Tennessee.
Tennessee held their end of the bargain. They've got some guys that'll inevitably be there. So don't worry about that. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. What was the score of that Saturday A&M Georgia game?
Was it 18 to 8?
Was
19 to 9.
And there was it? Georgia had scored like six in the first at one point. They might not think they're still batting.
It was 9-0.
Yeah, they were still batting when they had six runs.
9-0. And then A&M came back. It was 9-8 at the end of the first inning. And Georgia ends up getting run ruled.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But did you see obviously two good hitting teams, but did you see the wind?
Yeah.
It was just gusting out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nasty.
Yeah.
Which you gotta, as a pitcher, you're almost like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I'm just soft tossing.
Yeah. makes for a fun day.
I mean, honestly, probably not as a pitcher, but as just a fan, I'd rather go to that game than that game I did on Saturday. That was rough.
Shout out.
We got the dub. Shout out our boy Xander, got the start. Pitched pretty well. So I'll take it, but I mean, we are spoiled with all the home runs we hit to have two games like that back to back.
Yeah. Speaking of coaches being mad, I don't know exactly what transpired there, but Tony Vitello came out of the dugout hot. I don't know who the anger was directed at when he came to get Xander.
Oh yeah. The umpire was squeezing a little bit. Yeah, Tony Vitello has some choice words in the dugout that I get to hear every now and then.
I was like, I don't know. I feel like that can be directed at a number of people, but I do know it's anger, and I don't want to be on the other end of it.
And he doesn't have the accent like Xavier Leggett, where when he says something, you're like, that could have been offensive, but I have no clue what he said. Tony Vitello sounds everything out. You know exactly what just came out of his mouth.
It's enunciating, okay?
Yeah.
Love that. Let's talk about
like, what did he say? And we're like, he loves Smokey. I don't know.
Yeah. They panned out. I think you actually heard the F-bomb get dropped, and then they quickly cut off the on-field mic. But it was
probably not a smart thing to have. I would like to hear what Missouri's coach said after those.
I don't think he said a word. I don't think he said a word the entire game. I think he just stared.
Okay, I want to know what he was thinking.
He was very stoic during all of it in a very scary
way. Oh, man, I'm sure he was in disbelief of what he was watching. Yeah, we kind of just went right into baseball, so we'll just continue that.
We can do that.
Tennessee
one game back.
One game back in the East. Shout out South Carolina for the assist. Did we break Kentucky? I think some are asking.
I mean, we broke their fans. Their fans are now hanging banners for having more players drafted than Tennessee. And I think they didn't have more it ended up. I think it just ended up being more drafted higher now at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I also think the way Tennessee played defense in that Kentucky series, that makes the base running blunders even more head scratching. It's like, dude, we just played a really good team. Yeah, that runs and, you know, does a lot of the small ball, and we were prepared for it and made a lot of good plays throughout the weekend, and they just kept testing arm after arm after, you know, Kavarius Tears was, I think, the first one on, was it Friday, I think, where he dive, he makes a diving catch. I mean, the guy is on first base, is almost a third, and he catches it and just throws him out at first. I mean, that's where it all started. I'm like, I mean, they don't think Tennessee's good at all at defense.
Which, to be fair, that was an incredible play because he did make a diving catch and pop up. But yes, it was Kavarius Tears was going to make that throw. Like you can't be you can't be ahead as far as he was.
Yeah, I mean, Blake Burke threw somebody out at home. You had Dean Curley have a phenomenal play on Saturday.
Yeah,
where he goes in the hole and, you know, guys on second base, rounds third, the guy sends him. I mean, he's out by a mile.
He never even – he's out so much that he just walked into the out. He didn't even try to make a slide attempt to dive. No.
I mean, the way the coach was rounding him around, he was like, dude, this – I'm standing up. Like, he got through.
He had to think it got through. He had to.
I think the player who was on deck is, like, waving him around, and he's just like – he's just like – he didn't know what to do with his hands.
No. Stop.
He's like, why?
It was a comedy of errors for those folks pretty much the entire weekend, which we love to see.
But, I mean, Missouri kind of impressed me with their pitching staff. I thought they handled things well. Their best guy didn't get the throw yesterday because he was sick. And the guy who started for him, other than that first inning, pitched pretty well. The guy after that was good. I think we had one hit in the last three innings. So, like, that's – it was tough for Tennessee. It just felt like we couldn't barrel anything. Like, guys were getting hits. I think we had eight hits or something like that. It wasn't like – everybody was going over and they were just mowing us down. We just couldn't get anything on a barrel. I don't know if we got the opposite effect of the Georgia-Texas A&M. I know there was some wind blowing in. We just could not. I think we're just so used to hitting it out of the ballpark that it just felt like, man, what happened? Did Blake Burke break all our bats?
Yeah. That's what we'll blame, you know, some of the troubles on, at least. Having to play with a new bat, one you don't love. Hey, speaking of Kentucky, breaking Kentucky fans, rumors of shaved bats now going around. So just completely break. Just listen, we've seen this song and dance from another rival. It doesn't work out in the favor of the way you think it does. So just shut up now.
You guys, if we had shaved bats,
we'd be hitting a lot more home runs, which I know is crazy to say.
Mm-hmm. Or I think we do a shitty job of shaving bats over the past two games.
But let's just be clear. These calls have come into the NCAA office.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's been checks on these bats. You don't have to wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, just good weekend. I mean, I do think it is good to see Tennessee win on their pitching and on their defense, instead of just, you know, scoring 10 runs and, you know, playing that Big 12 football where you're like first to 100. I thought Tennessee's bullpen and their starting pitching was really good this week.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's been the call for it. I mean, since SEC play started, like, how's the pitching going to hold up? How's it going to hold up? Let's win you some ball games now.
Yeah.
So I think that those questions are starting to and you know you're doing it without AJ Russell too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean Drew Beam was phenomenal. Kirby pitched well. Aaron Combs, dude, when that slider is working, he's unreal. I mean, it's nasty stuff. Xander had some filth to him. Nate Snead was good. I mean, everybody who pitched. AJ Causey was good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that pitched, and you know, bullpen's kind of been the weakness for Tennessee right now. It was a strength this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It was a fun weekend. That's for sure.
Yeah. You swept. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many runs you score. You swept. You won three SEC games, and that's all that matters. You know, hopefully the Bats are come back and play against Lipscomb on Tuesday, and then you head to Nashville to play little brother.
Florida's next, no?
Florida. Okay, sorry. Yes, you're right. Gainesville. Gainesville, then you go to Nashville.
The disrespect for Florida every week on this podcast. Yeah. It doesn't even count them.
I mean, just... they suck. And I know Jack Aglione's going to probably hit three or four home runs this weekend, but they suck.
Talking about them catching strays, just no matter what, Florida will be just disrespected on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Hate it for them. I really do.
But, no, Florida's up next, and that will be I feel like you just don't pitch to Jack Caglione ever. Just don't even give him a chance. Just.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, just switch pitchers every time he's up to bat and just keep him off balance, I guess, is if you are going to pitch to him. That's not going to happen, but I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, he's hitting on everybody and they keep losing ball games. So I guess.
It shouldn't matter, but like, let's not let it matter either. How about this? If there's guys on base, just walk. Just the next guy's not going to hit, so just walk.
Yeah.
There you go. Let him have his solos. He can sleep with those at night.
Yeah, that's all we need. Also, pretty impressive that I mean, these guys have been in this program for a while, but Cal Stark and Drew Beam calling their own game on Friday, pretty impressive.
I didn't realize they did. It is.
Yeah. Frank was out, had a family issue, that kind of emergency there. He had to fly out. So I'm not sure what exactly they did on Saturday. I'd have to ask, but I know for sure that Beam and Cal called their own game, and man, what a series from Cal Stark.
I was going to say, I feel like they've talked about that level while they like him behind the plate there. They trust him. He's an older dude that's been in the program and has that maturity level and had to earn that spot too. Not like he walked into it. And I think, yeah, they've talked about that trust level. So that doesn't shock me too much that it's there for them to let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let him get those opportunities.
Oh my gosh. Dude, what? Florida is almost 500 on the year.
Hey, they've got a nice park though, so good views next weekend.
Yeah. And the last time we were there, that's when Christian Moore and Blake Burt put on the helmets.
I think Evan Russell was a part of that too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm just talking about, like, those. That's the guys that are on the team now had the helmets on.
Yeah, I think we got to – hopefully that memory's past faded because I think we got to pay for that last year a little bit. So, hopefully that one's out of there.
Yeah.
Who knows? It may be hanging up in their dugout again.
It might be. Yes.
That picture was hanging in their dugout last time. I'm not. You might have been at the games. You might not have known that, but they did have that picture hanging up in their dugout.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, kind of weird having other guys posted in your dugout. But wait, whatever.
I said we should have out bulletin board material then. We should have taken a picture of that picture.
How far down the wall was it? You know, if it was pretty high up or pretty low?
I don't. I know it was just in the dugout. I think it was right at the front, so you'd see it going out.
I was just curious on
who hung it up.
Yeah, if it was super low, it was definitely Sully.
You know, now you say it, I think it was right underneath the stool.
So. Yeah, it was definitely Sully. For sure. But yeah.
Yeah, he was on someone's shoulders, maybe. Hanging. They had a video of it going up, and they actually had to bring in a crane. They had to borrow the kneeling crane to get that thing hung up.
Hey, Corey, the guy from LSU that got hit with the Tommy White home run ball.
Okay, I was like, I don't know Corey.
The next game, after he got basically scalped by 109 ball to the dome.
He got beheaded, not scalped.
He wore a hard hat the next day.
That's a baseball guy. Did it look like a used hard hat, or did he go out and buy it? I need to know how much
stickers all over it. So I think it like he had that somewhere probably.
Blue collar guy.
They did give him a new glove. So one without.
So did it actually go through the glove? Is that real?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So he made the catch, like, or you know, theoretically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it would have if he didn't have a glove from the 60s. He would have made the catch.
Yeah, I guess he didn't like test it out.
I thought he just whiffed on it. I thought he never saw it or something.
Yeah, they gave him a new glove, so hopefully that the next time it happens.
You can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I feel it's way more embarrassing from in my mind he just missed it than it going through. I'm shocked that's not the first time a Tommy White home run's not gone through a glove.
Yeah, well, that's what he said. Now, on the video, it's hard to tell, like, if he did, if it did go through the glove or not. But part of me is like, dude, if it was just straight off the dome, I feel like that might kill somebody.
It's a big dude, though. You got to think about that. You think one bullet's bringing that sucker down?
I guess not. It's like Alan off the Hangover when they have to tase him twice.
Yeah. Have you been hog hunting? It takes a little more than just one.
I'm sure that guy's been hog hunting before.
Oh, you kidding me? He probably goes every weekend LSU baseball into town. Yeah. I can't imagine just one shot's bringing him down.
No.
Now he takes another one, you know, the next inning or something off from Tommy White, he's dead.
Yeah.
That's great though. That's such a good story. I like that they got him a glove without maybe even inspecting it. They're like, let's save this guy. Let's save some face for this guy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Corey.
Shout out.
Should we get him on the pod?
We could, yeah.
We don't really have a reason to, but we can just get him on.
Yeah, just be like, hey, did Tommy White actually kiss your boo-boo?
Bobo,
yeah.
That's my favorite part.
I was trying to think, do we know any, like, Cajun people that would, like, be able to, like, translate?
We should have made more friends. We made some friends at LSU. We didn't exchange any information.
No, yeah.
If we could have understood,
it was very much like,
information.
I probably will never see you again.
That dude that made us boudin at the tailgate, we should have made friends with him. That was good. Yeah. I don't know if that's a normal boudin or better than normal boudin or maybe worse than normal. It was good though.
It was good. Yeah, shout out to that guy.
The fact that I had boudin for breakfast and lunch in one day, I was bought in.
Just it was just always around. It was kind of like
it was. It's like gum. Like you're just like, yeah, I guess like, I'll eat it. It's here. Yeah.
So anybody want a piece of gum? Anybody want some boudin? Well, I mean, yeah, sure.
If you're offering. All right. Well, guys, tune in to the bat flip tomorrow night, 7 PM.
Seven PM like normal.
They'll get in a little more depth with that series sweep over Missouri.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Good weekend, and also good weekend for some Tennessee football players. I heard their name called during the 2024 NFL draft. That included three Tennessee players. Jalen Wright went to the Miami Dolphins in the fourth round. You had Joe Milton go in the sixth round to the New England Patriots, and then Kamal Haddon also in the sixth round to the Kansas City Chiefs. So shout out those guys. Because going into it, you're like, Jalen Wright's getting drafted for sure. And who knows about anybody else? Who knows what happens at the end of the rounds? But I do think it's interesting. It is the first time since RG3 and Kirk Cousins were drafted by the Commanders that a team has selected two quarterbacks in the first six rounds.
Huh.
So.
That is interesting. I think, though, that probably is kind of what we talked about on Thursday. It's like they just get there and they're like, all right, who do we take now? It's kind of like a freebie pick. Like, who do we want? I guess we'll just take the freak out of Tennessee. Like, why not?
Yeah, you can throw it really far. If not, it's super entertaining.
Yeah, at the very least, we'll just get him to throw random objects at practice.
Be wild.
Yeah, I mean,
we can boost our social media.
Oh, for sure. We'll just have him throw things from the lighthouse, and they'll go miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Morgan Wallen was trying to do off the top of that bar.
See
how far he can throw it.
He's like, I've got the ground on Joe Milton right now. Can I still throw it? Yeah. That's what that place needs to do, a promotion. Just have Joe Milton up there. Be like, this is where if Morgan Wallen was a Division I quarterback, this is how far he could have thrown it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been good. That was a missed opportunity by that bar. Jalen Wright. I mean, dude, Miami Dolphins, is that fair? I mean,
that's a lot of speed, man.
I mean, they would probably, with those four players, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Jalen Wright, and A-Chain, I mean, that's a 4x100-meter team in the Olympics.
That'd be a fun social media post.
That would, yeah.
Do that.
God, we have so many good ideas.
I know.
If we just had I don't know why Derek Dooley has status, but if we just had the similar status that he does, I mean, God, just a
man. Write this down. 4x100. Okay.
We're good. We got it. But yeah, good for him. I mean, it's a guy who didn't have a senior year of high school. And I think his junior year was kind of cut short a little bit too, but did a really good job and shared the rock with, you know, Jabari Small and Dylan Sampson throughout his couple years at Tennessee. And then he just exploded this year. And when Tennessee's offense wasn't as explosive as it had been in the past couple years, I mean, he was our best player.
Yeah, I mean, week in, week out, for sure. And I really would love to see 2022 if he doesn't have those early fumbles.
Yeah.
He's probably your number one guy the entire season.
Yeah, I agree.
But, yeah, I think it's on the face, it's a good landing spot for him. I think he's going to play in a very, very similar offense to Tennessee. Obviously, there's always going to be some differences from what Tennessee does when you go to the NFL. But I think in terms of a lot of people were, it wasn't just that one guy. He said it in a very stupid way. But I think a lot of people would be weary of any running back coming from a system like Tennessee's. But I think film doesn't lie. At the end of the day, like if you can play running back in the SEC, you can play running back. But yeah, I think Miami's probably a good landing spot if you want to see less of that, you know, transition that you would see at most NFL offenses. So yeah, I think this is a good landing spot, and I'm excited because I may get me a Miami Dolphins jersey because best professional football uniforms by far.
Did you get an orange one or a blue one?
I think I get a white one.
You like the white? Okay.
With the orange and blue, like really kind of – that orange and blue just kind of pops off white, you know?
Yeah, it is a very similar orange to our orange. Like it's got a little glow to it.
Yeah, it's more Florida orange, but I don't disagree. It does – it is a little bit like brighter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good uniform. If I went with a primary color, I'd go the orange one, the orange.
Okay.
You won't find me in an all baby blue, sorry.
Yeah, that
middle, I guess they're a teal.
It's just hard for like a white jersey. It's tough to keep.
I don't really wear them enough, so
yeah, that's true. That's true.
A couple good uniforms. The white New England uniforms. I'd gladly get me a white New England one, and then the Kansas City. Something about Kansas City red, man. Those uniforms just rock.
Yeah, I could do without the. I just don't love gold in anything.
Oh, my Eric Berry Kansas City uniform. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, your dog wore it one time. You remember that at a party?
He did wear it. Looked good in it, too.
He did look good.
I often say if he was a football player, I think he'd grade out close to Eric Berry. Little, but packs a punch. Good speed, especially lateral quickness. He's got the lateral quickness.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's stronger than he looks.
He is that – return ability too.
I think he does. He can evade pretty
ball
well.
Skills.
Good ball. Oh, great ball skills.
Okay.
Great. He's not good enough to be a wide receiver.
Okay.
As they would say on the old NCAA games. But yeah, he's a safety, but He's a dirty safety, so he'd love to roll down and play in the box.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see if Jalen Wright, I would love to see if he came, like, not come back, if he had two more, like, another year at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he should have stayed or anything. I'm just saying, like, I would love for him to, like, it wasn't Jabari Small's fault. Like, he was a great running back at Tennessee. But I just think, like, if we could have got him, like, I wish we could have fed him last year like we did this year.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that was also on Jabari. I think if he doesn't have those early going troubles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Putting the ball on the ground in dumb ways, I think he's by far and away your one by week three.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just love to see what that would have looked like.
But he was also coming off, he had some – that offseason he had some shoulder issues too. So, like, it may have just been like a comfortability thing for him as well.
Yeah, but not a lot of tread on the tires. So, no. I think that was super attractive. And
a used car with 30,000 miles on it. Like, he's pretty much brand new.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I'm sure the Dolphins are like, he's a track guy in the SEC.
And Mike McDaniel was, he was happy.
Oh, yeah, sign me up. Yeah. And then with Joe, like, they draft Drake, the Patriots draft Drake May,
number two. Which I thought we were done with the Drake May experiment. I guess I was wrong.
I mean, it just felt, I guess it felt like we have to have a quarterback. Caleb Williams is gone. Who else? JJ McCarthy? No. Unless you're the Atlanta Falcons that are just like, let's pay a quarterback $100 million. We have the 8 overall pick. There's not a single defensive guy drafted in the first 7 picks. So we should go quarterback and a guy who's 24 already. And yep.
But he could sit for 5 or 6 years and he would just be 29. Yeah, so, I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's that's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. I like that. I don't know if it was in a, like, a quote unquote official source. Like, I don't think it was like direct from Kirk Cousins, but it was. But I think they kept it like the anonymous. Someone close to Kirk Cousins said he knew they were taking a quarterback, but he didn't know it'd be a first round quarterback.
Yeah. It's like, dude. I mean, you could have got Joe Milton in the 6th round.
Well, I like how everyone's like, it's Kirk Cousins. It's not going to be Michael Penn. I'm like, you spend that kind of money on a quarterback, you have to have a QB competition. You have to. It's similar to the Steelers, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. It's like, wait a minute. You brought Justin Fields in, you have to have a QB competition. You can't just give it to the older guy by default, which I think Kirk Cousins is good, but you spend that kind of money, which this one's a little bit different. They're going to be paying him more, but you spend that kind of money, you have to open it up to the possibility he's better.
Who, Michael Penix?
Yeah.
Dude,
he's not, but you pay him that money, you have to give him a shot.
I mean, I'm with you. I would just love an explanation of why.
Yeah, no, it's because a bad decision. Makes, I'm just saying, how do you make
sense when you pay Kirk Cousins that much money, $100 million guaranteed, you're trying to win now.
Right.
Picking a guy 8 overall that's going to sit behind a guy that you just paid $100 million is not winning now.
Oh, it's dumb all the way around. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. You can't let you can't let a guy sit on the bench that – you draft number one, but you're going to have it's a conundrum they put themselves into.
Yeah.
Or drafted first round, 8 overall.
Yeah. Are you it's just going to like sit on crazy. Him and then in 2 years, you're just going to be like, oh, I guess we'll just get a 5th round pick for him.
That's what's going to happen. It's mind boggling.
Yeah. Especially when their defense was like 29th in the NFL. And like,
yeah,
yards. I'm like, dude, they could have got the best, whatever position they wanted. The best position on defense was still on the board. Michael Penix Jr. And also, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, I think it was last night. Dude, Washington had so many draft picks.
Yeah, just like, an entire team.
That team was good.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes me even think worse about Michael Penix Jr. No offense. I think he was a good quarterback, but that team was fantastic.
Right.
I mean, he had three receivers drafted in the first, like, four rounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, they drafted Drake May. They put a lot of money into him. I mean, I just don't know if Joe Milton really ever gets a shot, especially anytime soon. I mean, I guess if the Patriots are that bad, you know, I guess it's good to have. But they have Jacoby Brissett. They have Bailey Zappi. So that, I mean, I guess it's just like what you said earlier. We'll just take the freak and see what
happens. No, I mean, I think that's a good spot for him because in – realistically is not the right word, but like day one, like he is going to quote unquote have a shot because there's not a quarterback there right now that they're just completely happy with. Yeah. Like if he goes there and proves he's the man somehow, then he'll get a shot. Now I know how that works out. You, like you said, you just paid a lot of money to a first round guy. That's obviously who they're going to lean for the most part. But if you're better than him, then so I feel like in terms of where you wanted to go, this is kind of best case scenario. Even like Hendon Hooker, you knew he was never going to, no matter how healthy he came back, how good, like they had a guy in Detroit. You don't have that situation in New England right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know how it shakes out. He's not going to be the guy in New England. I just saying in terms of your situation, if you're Joe Milton, not a bad landing spot.
Also, Joe Milton threw for 4,000 yards. That seems like a ton to me.
For how much he played, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
Good for him. I mean, again, I hope that works out. Hope he gets an opportunity. Hope it, you know, he makes the best of it. Because I think he did a lot for this program.
Absolutely.
When he was here. And then Kamal Haddon to the Kansas City Chiefs. Little Super Bowl champs right now. I mean, I think it's a – I think that's a great pick in the sixth round.
Yeah.
A guy that was one of the top corners in the SEC before he got hurt. You know, dealt with some maturity issues. I'm sure that didn't help his case. You know, I don't know how great he graded out or anything like that, but dude's a solid corner. I think he played in 23 games and had six interceptions at Tennessee. So pretty solid. You know, good at going up and getting the football, and he's a bigger, longer corner. And it just seems like that's kind of what the NFL's going to now. So I think he fits that mold. And also, like, you got Chris Jones and, you know, some guys up front for Kansas City. I think, you know, he benefited a lot from having James Pierce. So, you know, maybe he can have that same impact with Kansas City.
In terms of best landing spot, I mean, dude, sneak onto a 53-man roster, you might have yourself a Super Bowl ring next year. You don't need to play it down. Just find a way on that roster. And
well, the good things with DBs is, like, dude, they play so many of them.
Right.
Like, you can be a nickel or even in a dime package. Like, they play so many guys, and it's such a long season that there's injuries and stuff like that. Like,
when he did make an impact on special teams his early years at Tennessee when he transferred in. So maybe he can do something similar there in Kansas City.
Yep.
We'll see.
That would be cool. Yeah. And that's a guy I'm like, I hope the best for him because I know he was kind of crapped on and he kind of deserved I shouldn't say deserved. He kind of brought that on himself. But then he just had a turnaround season for Tennessee and didn't get to finish it out due to injury, but you know, he was really solid in that defense that, you know, was kind of a struggle bus the past couple of years. He was one bright spot on it this year.
Right. I mean, some people are saying that Richard G. West motivated him. You know, he got on that Spencer Rattler tweet, and then
he's right.
A man on fire since then. So
Spencer Rattler got drafted.
Yeah, good for him. But it was weird. NFL GMs are saying they don't like his personality from the TV show. There's no way that's true. That seems to me like power play by NFL GMs to try to like get other teams to not like him. Be like, yeah, we don't like him for this reason. And other teams are like, oh, yeah, we don't like him either. And then they're like, yeah, we're taking him next, actually.
How bad is he going to – I feel like him and Jameis Winston, like they are two polar opposites in terms of personality.
Be some fun speaking social media videos. Yeah. He's not gonna like the Matt Fitzpatrick love the pregame little raps. He will not. I don't think he'll enjoy those.
No.
God, what was that one that like you can hear Fitzy just he's loving it. Is Matt that QB? Fitzpatrick? Who am I?
Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Ryan, not Matt.
I was like, man, I would love to see Matt
Fitzpatrick. Yeah, wrong Fitzpatrick. He'd probably love it, too.
It's hard not to like anything that Jameis Winston does.
I don't know.
I mean, stealing crab legs, but it's a funny story.
It's posted on YouTube as his pregame poem.
Oh.
Can you hear it?
You gotta repeat after me. One. Two, three into the four. One, two, three into the four. The Bucks, Q's, and C's coming out that door. The Bucks, Q's, and C's coming out that door. Now, we don't know how to do these rhymes. We don't know how to do these rhymes. We know about pancake blocks and throwing dimes. We know about pancake blocks. Now, the time has come for us to compete. Now, we got to do it one way, one team, one heartbeat. Let's go out here and let's have a great day.
I love it. Like the only person you can hear is Fitzy. He's just really getting into it. And then I think it's a mic'd up. You can hear him like they're sitting in the locker room before the game. He's like, man, I really like that poem.
He's like a G-rated Jason Brown.
Let's go kick some ass, jackass, Tampa Bay. I would love to be friends with Jameis Winston. I'll say it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Jameis, I will hang out. I'll do your weird training videos with you any day. Call me anytime, anywhere. I'm there.
I think everybody got super curious on who Jameis Winston is as a person when he was in the locker room at Florida State and he did the We Some Dogs that speech. That is incredible stuff.
What is it? Who are they playing? That's when he's playing. I thought you were talking about when he comes back. He's not playing.
Who are they playing when they're not playing?
When he's been in the NFL for a year or two. I don't remember, but he's sitting there and he's like, whoever it is, let's pretend it's, I don't know, Michigan. He's like, Michigan, Florida State. Florida State.
Well, he's saying SEC.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah, I think they are playing Ole Miss.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
But he wasn't playing, right?
He wasn't playing.
Okay.
No, because he was like, Coach Tricky, get my ass.
SEC
and I play quarterback.
We should have a whole show where we just watch Jameis Winston videos.
We should, yeah, that would be awesome.
Oh, so good. He's the
actually,
best.
Actually, I'm kind of thinking about it now. I might make a burner account on X and just tweet out the same couple videos over and like each day, the same.
Yeah.
Of Jameis.
Just Jameis Winston, like motivational. Like, are you feeling down?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be anymore.
Or maybe just made up quotes that Jameis Winston might say, but has never said. I think we just do that.
I think this might have the, it does have the mic'd up.
I'm not the And I felt like your rhyme was a little long. Maybe it ran a little over. Okay. I liked it.
I liked it was a little long.
All right, let's
he does have the Eaton W's one too that we didn't talk about. That is all time.
Yeah, that is all time. I was gonna. Okay, so Tennessee did have 8 players sign undrafted free agent deals. Ramel Keaton signed with the Raiders. The McAllen Castles signed with the Eagles. Warren signed with the Patriots. D. Williams and Aaron Beasley signed with the Seahawks. Jalen McCullough with the Rams. Jeremiah Crawford with the Panthers. And then Gabe Judy-Lally and Jabari Small with the Titans.
Love it.
So, I mean, out of that group, if I'm looking at, like, players who could make a roster, I think McAllen Castles obviously has a good shot at doing that. Probably Ramel Keaton, too, I would say, has a good chance. Maybe.
Yeah, he feels like maybe he could have been one of those late draft picks if he had just, you know, if he'd had a 2022 like season.
Yeah, for sure.
But just not quite the season he wanted or expected.
Yeah. And Aaron Beasley too. I mean, he's a guy that's, you know, a little bit undersized, but, you know, special teams is, you know, probably a great place for him, similar to Jalen Reeves-Maben. And
yeah, that was the Tennessee player popped up bye-bye.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
We'll see. I did want to ask you, obviously, like the 2025 mock drafts have already started, and James Pierce is kind of being talked about it going number one. And I think that's great. It's also probably a terrible thing for teams looking for a quarterback next year because just not a lot. I mean, maybe some pop up a little bit more, but right now it's like Shedeur Sanders. And
yeah, I saw where someone had him going number one overall, which is crazy.
Yeah. And then
I don't think he's bad. That's just crazy.
Yeah, Jalen Milroe was one.
That makes sense at least.
Yeah.
Still crazy. He wouldn't normally be that high, but.
Mm-hmm. Quinn Ewers.
Okay, tracking.
Yeah. Yeah, gonna be weird, but if
Brock Vandergriff, has that been mentioned yet?
No.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah. Thought he would. Carson Beck is one though.
Okay.
Yeah. But if the projections are correct, the Panthers are gonna be the worst team in the NFL again.
And trade away that pick for nothing.
No, we will not do that anymore. We've learned our lesson. And we'll get James Pierce, and that will be awesome.
Yeah, well.
And then he'll waste away for a couple of years, and then we'll trade him for nothing, and he'll be really good somewhere else.
All right, now we're more on track. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than him, like, I want to get kind of your take of, like, who might be some guys you think might get selected in that 2025 draft, because Tennessee's going to lose a lot of defensive linemen that probably fit that mold a little bit.
Yeah, I got to think Amari Thomas gets drafted somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Big impact, but also just a big dude.
Yeah.
I got to think he gets taken.
Omar Norman Lott.
See, I don't know. I think probably dependent on the season, but trending like it was last year, surely, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tyree West looks like he looked like in the bowl game, he's one that could probably get drafted pretty high.
That's true. Yeah.
I think Brew McCoy, you know, if he has a good season, recovers from that injury nicely, I think he could be, you know, a solid receiver. There was a lot of, like, receivers that didn't have just a fantastic 40 time.
Right.
And I think that's probably his biggest – thing, and it was with Juwan, but at the same time, it's like with spacing and
if you can play that big,
yeah, it's just not a sure. It helps you create separation, but at the same time,
if you have other skills that can make up for that, you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to be able to dominate one-on-ones, and Brew McCoy does that.
Right. I'm kind of curious to see how it all shakes out with Cooper Mays. I know a lot of people have him kind of marked as undersized, but he's also played the center position. And I think that probably helps him. I think he's probably a guy, depending on team needs, I'd say he's not going to be a guy that you just take because he's that good.
Yeah.
But
well, in the last couple of years, centers are a lot more valued than they have been with, right. You know, with all these offenses, you know, running no huddle and stuff like that, you have to have a really good center. And so I'm sure that that's going to help him out at the next level, just being in an offense that kind of already does that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm sure Devontae Spraggins finds, you know, has a chance. Again, I don't know where a lot of these guys, I don't know where they fall on. Do they get drafted or they fall into, you know, that undrafted free agency? I don't know. He's probably a guy that I've probably a fit thing too, like yeah. Where he gets. But I'd say he's another guy that has a possibility of getting drafted, similar yeah. to Cooper Mays.
John Campbell, I think, probably has yeah. a good shot. Just being an offensive tackle definitely helps. I think Dante Thornton is one that it's kind of like the Joe Milton thing, like with his size and athleticism. Yeah. It's like, I mean, he could be a first rounder. You know, that's how they were talking about Joe Milton going into this season. If he has a really good year with the arm strength and everything like that, he could be a first round draft pick. And I think the same with Dante Thornton, 6'5" that can run a 4.3 40.
Yeah.
You know, if he can put it all together, that the physical specimen he is, like, that's, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I think that junior class has a couple guys that could play themselves into draft territory.
Dylan Sampson's another one.
Dylan Sampson, Squirrel White speed. If he has a good season, he's going to be one of those guys that people look at and love. And, yeah, I think there's some guys there in that junior class that could definitely find themselves in entering the draft next year, potentially.
Yep. All right. Shout out Candace Parker.
Yeah.
Happy retirement.
Yeah.
Just fantastic career. And, I mean, Pat Summitt is Tennessee Lady Vols basketball. But I think right underneath her as like a player, it's Candace Parker.
Oh, yeah. People adore her for good reasons.
Yeah. Which is weird. Like, she was pretty good last year. They won a championship. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you're just kind of ready to be done with it. And obviously, she's going to have a good career in broadcasting and everything like that. So.
Right.
Yeah. Love to see that. Hopefully she's around the program a lot more, because I definitely think that definitely helps having people like that around your program. So come back, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Come home. It's time.
Oh, God. The first loss that we have under Kim Caldwell, there's going to be people out there going to be like, we should have waited – until Candace retired.
Another month.
Yeah.
Just waited another month. Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure. Most important. I don't know if that was the most important of yours or not, but.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of was. Yeah. I just wanted to mention that.
My first one is, we were talking about track. This week at the Penn Relays, a 16-year-old Quincy Wilson. I don't know if he plays football, but he ran a 44.37 4x400 split to win the 4x400 for his team. I think he got it in. I think he got the baton. They were in fourth or fifth place. I watched the video and saw where it said it. I thought it was going to be the team in first place. So the dude ran the 44.37 because he's not slow. No, this dude is moving. He comes from fifth place. and runs a 44.37 and wins it. 44.37 is Olympic good. I mean, that's insane.
In a what? In a
4x400?
Dang.
Yeah.
43?
44, Zoe? 44.37. I think the world record's like 42 point something. Yeah.
In the world?
Yeah. It's nuts. I think it's Carroll High School. I think that's Carroll out of Texas, I would assume. Oh, wait, no. Wasn't Carroll. Sorry. It was out of Maryland, whatever school he's out of. He wasn't.
You know that thing where everybody's like, I'm so much faster when like something's chasing me?
Yeah.
Dude, no, being the person chasing, that's
you're moving a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, the first place guy never is the fastest. Ever.
No.
Insane.
My first one is the heads up play by the Arkansas outfielder against Florida.
That is one of the more insane baseball moves I've
ever seen. Yes. I mean, like, to have that concentration to, like, do that and then refocus on the fly ball and make it, like, good enough to sell it.
Yeah.
And then they throw the guy out at home that tried to, like, go back after he left a little early.
I jumped in on that. Tell people who probably maybe haven't seen it what happened.
Yeah, so he's waiting under the fly ball in center field, and, you know, your top base running wise, like, as soon as they catch it, you're gone. But really, your third base coach is the one that's supposed to say go. But he was waiting, and the guy act like he comes down with it, like squeezes his glove, and the guy takes off. Well, then he goes back up and re-catches it. And the guy has to go back and touch it and then go back and gets thrown out at home.
Which is
in a one-run ball game, too.
Like you said, the focus and attention to make that play, the thought to even do that there. It has to be something you've thought about doing, you think about doing, but to implement it is insane.
Yeah, now a lot of people are going to try, and I feel like a lot of people are going to mess it up.
Well, that's another tough part about it is timing, because – yeah, that guy at third, that third base coach, they don't know exactly where the ball's at, you know, on its descent, but they have a good idea. Like, you can't do it when the ball's relatively still coming down.
Yeah.
Like, you have to – it has to be pretty close to when you would catch it. Because you get a feel for it when you're out there. And it absolutely insane. It blows my mind.
Any more most importance?
I think that was – did I have another one? I think that might have been it for most importance. Most importance? Most important.
I'm going to go Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back. I think it was dumb that they took it away in the first place.
Reggie shouldn't have given it back. He was too nice about it.
Yeah.
You tell him, come and take it. Can't tread on me.
Yeah, he was just ahead of his time, way ahead of his time.
A little bit ahead.
So I think with that, can we just go ahead and run a Heisman Trophy to Peyton Manning?
Okay. Yeah, I'm with that.
I mean, if we're just going to make
– if we're out here right and wrongs.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I have – anymore. Also, my Uncle Steven's birthday is today. Shout out. Happy birthday, Uncle Steven. When I was leaving his party. Yeah. When I was leaving his party today, he was like, hey, you doing the podcast tonight? I was like, yeah. He said, you want to say my name? I was like, yeah, I'll say your name. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. He's 47 today.
Oh,
yeah,
just he's getting into the golden years, man.
On his card, I wrote like, "Happy birthday, love you." Also, can't wait until tomorrow when we all find out how old you'll be next year, because he'll tell us like the day after his birthday. He's like, "Hey, next year, 48." I'm like, "I know. I'm well aware how old you were yesterday." So. Yeah, shout out to the big man. Phil, I have South Carolina. So Ethan Petrie hit a home run today, and the guy on first base is just in no man's land. And Petrie's trotting around the bases and passes him, and he's called out. Now, they beat the crap out of Kentucky anyway. But
still not a good look, right?
Dude, oh, my God. And it's like the ball was, like, gone. And the guy is just so confused of what happened.
Right.
He wasn't even looking at it. And, yeah, passes him and just a bad look all the way around.
I saw that. I was like, how does that happen? The guy at first base, like how that'll blow my mind forever. But
what do you got?
There's a guy that follows us that he keeps receipts, man. I don't know if you saw these responses. So you, more important, she tweeted out that Joe Milton was, you know, leaving, going to the NFL draft or whatever. After he put out his thing, that was December 27th. Thom, T-H-O-M. It's not Tom, I couldn't imagine. Thom. Abraham tweeted, really? I think I'll begin preparing for the draft as well since we have about the same chance of being drafted. Look, play in the game, build some value for yourself. This is myopic. Jeremy Fon said, congrats on getting drafted today. He responded that yesterday to that guy. So,
oh, yeah.
Keeping receipts, and I like it.
I love that.
Thom was not drafted, if you were wondering.
The bookmark thing is a beautiful tool that Twitter has right now. So
yeah, I don't mind keeping those receipts. That was good.
Yeah. I think that's all I got. Oh, there is one. Vanderbilt. No Vanderbilt football players are drafted for the third straight year.
Wow. Okay.
And this girl, it's the Aria girl who always tweets about Tennessee. She had to tweet this, and then she said that includes punter Matt Hayball, though only one punter was drafted overall. So okay. their biggest like threat to get drafted was a punter.
Not good, guys.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Hey, keep doing you, Vandy. Y'all are killing it.
We ever figure out what that foreign substance was, or was it, you know, just a foreign substance, probably just sunscreen still?
I don't know.
It was a pretty sunny day throughout the entire country. I saw a lot of games being played in the sun. I didn't see anybody else thrown out for sunscreen, weirdly enough.
Yeah. I lathered some on too, just in case they wanted to try to throw me out.
Ump walks up to Landon's section, his pants are down. He's full Max Scherzer on him.
Yeah. All right, guys, go check out Roback. Roback.com. Use promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase. Just awesome clothing. They have some golf putter covers. I think they have some fairway covers as well. So go check them out. Awesome polos. It's really getting the golf season. The weather's getting better. And go check them out. Yeah, pants, shorts, anything you need, they got it. Use promo code More Important Issues for 20% off your first purchase.
Go do it.
Do it. All right, anything else?
That's it for me.
Awesome. Guys, thank you all for listening. We'll be back this week, back tomorrow with the bat flip, so go check that out. And appreciate you guys for bringing the boat in, and we out.